one of you this morning. I certainly appreciate that prayer. You know, that's one of those powerful prayers. We're not talking volume, are we? We're talking about feeling like God heard such a prayer. You know, he said, to this man will I look, him that is of contrite and broken spirit and trembleth at my word. Oh, that prayers like that would be offered up all across this world. We'd see some changes happening, wouldn't we? If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with us this morning, open it up to the very middle of the Bible. You know where that is, don't you? Psalm 118, verse 8 is the very middle verse of the Bible. And by the way, it happens to be in the middle chapter of the Bible. How about that? 594 chapters before it, 594 chapters after it. And right in the middle is Psalm 118. Now get this. This is a little trivia to kind of stir your mind a little bit to get started. And the reason, I'm not trying to impress you with anything. What I'm trying to impress you about is the more I learn about the King James translation, the more I'm just thrilled at how you can see the hand of God in it. And what I'm saying here is, I don't think this was by man's design. They didn't just decide that, Psalm 118 is going to be the middle chapter. You know, because when they translated from the original languages, they inserted the chapters and verse numbers. So, I've never heard of anything that said that it was man's design that it'd be 594 chapters before Psalm 118 and 594 chapters after it, and Psalm 118, verse 8, happens to be the middle verse of the Bible. And then you could say 594 plus 594 is what? Well, I'll save you the math. It's 1,188. 118, verse 8. There's just something, you know, not trying to be superstitious, but there just seems to be that there's little clues there that God is the one who designed this word. And God is the one who gave it to us. And there's one verse, there's other verses besides this, but there's particularly one verse. 1 John 5:7. Okay? There's a lot of the Bibles that you, even King James, but a lot of the Bibles that are being sold today, they don't even have that verse. Now they skip verse 7, and the next verse is verse 8. So you can look and see something missing. You know what that says? I mean, what that verse says? There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. There are evidently a lot of people within the ranks of Christianity that don't want that verse in the Bible. And there are a lot of people who claim to be Christian and yet they don't recognize Jesus as equal with the Father. And, you know, there's all kinds of variations there that would cause us to realize that there are those that do not recognize the triune God, the Godhead, being equal in power. All right, I'm not in Psalm 118. I want you to back up a little bit. Lord willing, we want to talk about a whole chapter of the Bible. So I'm glad we brought lunch today. A whole chapter. Psalm 117. the shortest. Now listen, remember Psalm 118 in the middle? And right ahead of it is the shortest chapter in the Bible. And right after it is the longest. Isn't that amazing? God is amazing. And His Word is amazing. So those are just some little trivial details, but it should stir our mind to think of the greatness of our God. All right? So I'm sure you remember all that. You know, those kind of things that tickle our mind and hadn't heard before, we might remember that a whole lot more than some of the other things that we'll hear, but I hope you do remember that. All right? Psalm 117. All right? Two verses. Could there possibly be anything noteworthy in two verses of Scripture? Sure there is. There could be something noteworthy in one word of Scripture. Okay? Psalm 117. Oh, praise the Lord. You see why I asked you this morning at the beginning of the song service, give me five things for why we should be praising God today. And see, I knew you'd get five, more than five. But that's the point. We can't even count the reasons as to why we should be praising God. But it will lift our heart and it will lift our spirits if we take a little time to count those blessings and to remind ourselves of why we love God and why we should be praising Him. And we came up, I heard some mighty good answers. I think the first one I heard was that He's blessed us to know Him, know His Word. I heard grace. I heard blessings. I heard lots of things, lots of reasons why we should be praising God. All right? So do we agree with all of that, that there are many, many, many beyond our ability to count reasons as to why we should be praising God? All right, then, that begs the question, why don't we spend more time praising Him? Other things more important? I don't want to say that. So we'll have to answer that ourselves. But my point is, and I hope if you don't remember anything else today, I hope you remember that we have a multitude of reasons to praise God, and we ought to be at it. As God's people, as our God's name is defamed by so many, so often in this day, it's time for God's people to stand up for truth and to speak out to the praise of His name. All right? We can do that. We still have that freedom granted by our government, freedom of speech. Okay? Seems like there's been a whole lot of folks that's put fear in the hearts of people to speak up and say anything religious nowadays, but bless your hearts, we still have that freedom of speech. And God's still as good as He's ever been, and He always will be, and so we need to incorporate more praise in the things we say and how we go about doing things to let that light shine and give glory to His matchless name. Psalm 117. Again, oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. The psalm begins and the psalm ends in the same way. We need to begin our day, we need to end our day praising God. And all throughout the day, we need to be praising God. Now He says, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You know, there's so many people in the world today that are not blessed to know Him. So my point in this is, since God is the one who sends his spirit and quickens our soul and blesses us to know him, my point is not that to think about those who don't, but my point is, if we do know him, then we're the only ones who can praise him as he should be. We're the only ones. And the more of his truth that you understand, the better you can praise him. Oh, how wonderful it is that God has had mercy upon our souls. I listened to the songs we sang this morning, and they were just so much in harmony with this thought. The mercy that God has bestowed upon us and blessed us. You know, we sang that song, Show Pity, Lord. And he has. He has in so many ways. How many of his blessings have you deserved? Now, I understand there are blessings in obedience. But Jesus himself told his disciples, when you've done all that you've commanded to do, or that you've been commanded to do, we should say we're unprofitable servants, for we've only done that which we were commanded to do. We've only done, if we're obedient, then we've only done what we've been told to do. Bless your hearts. What a blessing it is. And God is so good that he's in his mercy, when we do those things which he has taught us to do in his word, then he blesses us in it. And I intentionally said in it. Not just for it, but in it. You know, as you go about your day, and as you, if God puts something on your heart to visit somebody or call somebody or do a good deed for somebody, don't you know you're blessed in it? All along the way, when you're following the leadership of the Spirit of God, then you're blessed for it. I tell you, some of the most joyful times in your life is when you had something on your heart to do, and you're doing those things for other people, and you see the blessing that it is, and you go away with a greater blessing than it seems like it was for them. And yet at the same time, you can't imagine just what a blessing it might have been to somebody else, to remember them, to take time to do something for them. You know, I remember a story about a preacher one time that went to visit some elderly person and got to the house, and the grass hadn't been mowed, and went to the gate to go up the walkway, and the gate was about to fall off the hinges, and he started up the steps, and the steps was about to fall through, you know. Got inside, visited for a little while, got ready to go, and said, "Well, sister, is there anything we can do for you?" Now, from what I just described, you know there's lots of things that could have been done for that sister. But how often do things like that go unnoticed? Even though the words are being said, anything we can do. And that person probably was too humble to even ask for any help. But there are plenty, if we just open our eyes and open our heart and open our hands. Sometimes it might even mean opening our wallet. There are plenty of ways that we can give praise to God beyond just singing praises to him when we meet together. Now, I love this privilege of gathering together and worshiping his great name. I love the privilege of singing praises to him. I love to hear these good old songs that we're singing, and those, especially those that truly give praise and honor to him. You know, there's other lighthearted songs that we enjoy as well. Brother Sonny Powell calls them Skip Along with Jesus songs. We need that too. But I'm telling you something, what feeds your soul are those that exalt him and give praise to his matchless name for all the goodness and mercy. You know why that feeds your soul? Is because the spirit within you is saying, yes, that's right. That's what needs to be said. That's the kind of praise that needs to be offered up. And so he says, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. All ye nations. Should all nations upon this earth be praising God? Yes. Will they? No. But they should. Last time I checked, we all have air to breathe. Now, in the inner cities, the quality of that air has gotten pretty bad. I was reading something the other day. You talked about the oxygen level in some of the cities that, of our nation, especially when the humidity is high and things like that. The oxygen level is down around 20-something percent to breathe that air. We don't have that problem to that extent, you know, but all, God has created an environment that's good for all of us. Okay, we have air to breathe, sun shining. There are just so many things that when we who are blessed to know him and to know that he's our creator and our sustainer and our provider, and we're blessed to know that he's the one that made all these things, and by his wisdom and by his power, he's put all these things in place, and they continue to exist because of his power. Bless your hearts, we give him praise for those things. And every nation upon the face of this earth ought to be praising him for the same things. Because it rains on the just and the unjust. Not alike, but it rains on the just and on the unjust. Okay? We've all got air to breathe. We've all got a planet that sustains life. God, in his mercy and his power, has blessed us with a wonderful world. That's one thing. Very basic that we can praise him for every day. We talked about the grace of God, the mercy of God, the long-suffering of God. All those kinds of things, as we think about, as we read his word, as we're reminded of all the things that God is. We know that the Bible says that God is love. But that's not all he is. Oh, but he's the best love, isn't he? He's the greatest love. And as we think about his love and his mercy that he has bestowed upon us, what a blessing that is. And it ought to bring forth praise from our lips to his honor and glory. Praise him, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. We thought about the nations, but every person within those nations. All ye people. And I really think that the thrust of this is all manner of people. Okay, God has a people in every nation, kindred, and tongue, right? And they're the ones, if they're quickened by his spirit, then they're the ones who are blessed to know him and are able to give him the praise due to his matchless name. Now, he's given us eternity so that we can praise him enough, right? That's what eternity, to my favorite definition of eternity, is it's just long enough to praise God enough. And he's given us that. And bless your hearts, we don't need to wait until glory to start doing that. We need to do it right now. It'll help you in many ways. It's a blessing to us that we are blessed to know him and to know that he's the one that has done all these things. And so all ye people need to be praising him. Now, verse 1 tells us what we should be doing. Praising. And verse 2 tells us why. The reason that we should be praising his great and holy name. I love that expression, great and holy name. I mean, it still falls short, but it's just a wonderful way to express our God and his great and holy name. If we're blessed to know him, then, well verse 2 goes on to say, all right, he says the why. We should be praising for his merciful kindness is great toward us. Isn't that true? Oh my goodness. The longer I live, the more I love mercy. I'm serious. The longer I live, the more I realize God's mercy is great. It gets greater every day. Because more and more times I've needed the mercy of God. And he's given it. Isn't he so good? his merciful kindness. Not only is he merciful, you know, he could grant it and that's it, but he's kind in it. Oh, our God is so good. So good. We need to spend a little time every day just thinking about the goodness of God. Remember, I mentioned not long ago how that Moses asked the Lord to show him show me thy glory. And the way the Word of God describes what God replied, how God replied to Moses was, I'll make all my power. No. All my goodness pass before thee. Now, part of that power is his power is part of that goodness. You know, I'd be shaking in my boots if some people that I've heard about in this world had a whole lot of power. But it doesn't bother me at all that God has all power both in heaven and in earth, and that he's eternal. He'll always have that power. Never any degradation, never any weakening, never anything less than he is. He's perfect and he always will be. And because he is good and he is the epitome of goodness, and he's good in and of himself. You know, if there's anything good in us, God gave it to us. Do you know that? If there's anything good in us, it's because God gave it to us. We're the sheep of his pasture. You know, he hath made us, not we ourselves. All right? So when we think about his goodness, what did he say? Praise him for his merciful kindness. When you start thinking about his kindness, you know, his merciful kindness. You know, in Ephesians chapter 2, when he begins to describe how we were by nature, how we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's how we were. And we still got this old flesh that we drag around with us still. And it still bothers us. But bless your hearts, we've got something else. We've got something good that God has given to us. And we've got the knowledge of the fact that we can never be separated from him. But in Ephesians 2, after he describes that, he says, but God, who is rich in mercy. Oh, I tell you, that warms my heart. No, he's rich in mercy. And then he says, for the great love wherewith he loved us. Well, now listen, he's always loved us. From the foundation of the world, he's always loved us. But it pleased him to let us know about it. And it was only because of his mercy that love was shown to us. So, you might look at that mercy as a fountain of how his love comes to us. Oh, as we think about it. You know, Jeremiah, 31:3? It talks about, yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. You mean God still loves us when we go astray? Yes. Now, we may not have it, we won't have as much fellowship. All right? But his love is constant. His love is everlasting. He doesn't start loving and quit someday when he thinks you don't return his love like you should, which, by the way, is every day. His love is everlasting. And he says, yeah, and with loving kindness have I drawn thee. through his loving kindness. We need to be thanking God for his merciful kindness, for his loving kindness, for that great love, for the richness of his mercy. We need to be thanking him every day and praising his holy name for it. Because of his goodness, because of his mercy that he shows upon us every day. Because of his mercy, bless your hearts, his grace, love. All these things that you can't really separate them out totally. The grace, and the love, and the mercy of God that's been extended toward us. How wonderful it is. And he's blessed us to know about it. Oh, as we think about it, there's nothing in us that's worthy. There's nothing in us that has earned any of his favor and blessings. But bless your hearts, in his goodness and mercy, he's good to us every day. But the very foundation, the reason for all of that, when he gets into verse 2, when he says, "For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever." And as we began to learn the truth of the Lord, then we understand the foundation as to why God is good to us. We don't deserve it. We every day we live, we keep proving it. But bless your hearts, he's merciful to us and he's good to us because of what? Because he sent his son into this world to die for our sins. That's the truth of God. And way back in Isaiah, let me turn to it. It's a long verse. I probably won't quote it all if I don't read it. Isaiah 28. When you talk about the foundation of God's truth, listen to what Isaiah 28, I'm again in verse 16. Isaiah 28, verse 16. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone." Now, if you're going to build a house, you need a good foundation, don't you? You need something that can support the weight. You need something that's not going to crumble under pressure. You need something that's strong, that's going to be there, and it's going to have lasting value. Well, bless your hearts, God knows how to lay a foundation. He laid in for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth shall not make haste. Bless your hearts, that foundation is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the solid rock. He's the foundation. He's the tried stone. He's the precious cornerstone. Everything begins with him. All right? And he's the tried stone. I tell you, when he came into this world, he was tried, wasn't he? Oh, in so many ways. By man, by the Father. Bless your hearts, God was satisfied. You all know Isaiah 53 said he shall see of the travail of his soul. When his son got to the point where, well, let me back up a little. God, in his purpose, that foundation, you know, 2 Timothy 2:19, when he says, "Nevertheless, the foundation, even though the faith of some had been overthrown," in those previous verses, he says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Bless your hearts, that foundation, God's purpose of what he has, what he purposed to do, what he has done through his son, bless your hearts, Christ was set forth to be the propitiation for our sins. He came down from heaven. Those verses in John chapter 6 that I quote frequently, bless your heart, to me, is just such a condensed message of the gospel. When he said, "I came down from heaven not to do mine own will," that tells us he came to do the Father's will. What he did was not happenstance. What he did was not just reacting. What he did was not trying to accomplish something. He came to fulfill the purpose of God. This is the foundation of truth. And we can stand upon that. Bless your hearts. If I thought that God was still wondering how all this is going to turn out, I wouldn't have a whole lot of confidence in what the Lord Jesus Christ did. But bless your hearts, what he came to do was what the Father sent him to do. And he had the power to do it. All right? Came down not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the Father's will which has sent me. Of all thou hast given me. There it is. There's your election of a people before the foundation of the world. That all thou hast given me, I should lose nothing. There's eternal security. But raise it up again at the last day. There's your hope of glory. And it's all based upon that sure foundation of Christ. That's why we praise his name. That's why we give him glory, because he's taken care of that. Now, he's given something for us to do. Bless your heart. You know, there are those that think that there's some work that they've got to do in order to receive all of that. No, the truth of God's word is that he purposed to do it. Jesus came and did it, and we can praise him for it because he finished the work. But there's plenty of good works for us to do. And there's plenty of good works that we're not doing. All right, so yes, we believe in good works. You know, for by grace are you saved through faith. Ephesians 2:8. That not of yourselves is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We should. We're not robots. We're not some wind-up toy that he's wound us up and pre-programmed us so that we're going to do. No, that's not the way it is. Bless your hearts, we should walk in them. We should. We come short, but we ought to be found trying. We ought to be found trying. All right? So when we think about, he's the foundation. That foundation that's been laid, that foundation of truth. You know, you can stand upon truth. In the armor of God, let your loins be girt about with truth. The loins were the place of strength. And our strength is in truth. If we think about the truth of God and we stand upon the truth of God and we try to live according to what's pleasing to God, according to his truth, then we've got strength. Because it's not our strength, but we've got God's strength with us. Be strong in the power of the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. When we're walking according to truth, we have his power with us. We have the Spirit. We have his truth. We know what we need to do. We've got his protection too, don't we? All right, so there's just so much there about the truth. So when he says in verse 2, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Verse 1 told us what we should do. Praise the Lord. Verse 2 tells us why. Because of his merciful kindness. All right, because of that, we have the grace of God, and his truth endureth forever. Mercy and truth. That's what we praise him for. His mercy and his truth. Bless your hearts as we think about the truth of God's word, as we read the Bible and understand how he's dealt with people in the past in the Old Testament. How he showed himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward them. How he blessed us with these psalms that speak so wonderfully of how we can praise him. And if you don't know how to praise God, go read the psalms. All right? They tell us. They remind us of so many things. But I really believe that every heaven-born child of God knows how to praise God. Now, we might need to learn some language. We might need to learn some things. But bless your hearts, that desire is within us. And when we hear the truth, we want to praise God. When we understand what he's done for us, the mercy that he's had upon us, and the truth of it. You know, God didn't just brush aside our sins. He couldn't do that. His holiness wouldn't allow that. Who was it? I can't remember the preacher's name now, from Arkansas years ago. And Sister Nancy and I had just married. And we went, and Brother Bowen and the other preacher was preaching. And one of the things that I carried away from that meeting that night at Mars Hill Church was that God, that we are not going to be just a bunch of pardoned sinners in heaven. And he used the illustration of President Nixon, that he was pardoned. President Ford pardoned President Nixon. Well, if he was guilty to start with, he's still guilty. He just doesn't have to suffer the penalty. But what Christ did for us didn't just brush aside our sins. They are paid in full. God's holiness and God's justice is satisfied. He satisfied the wrath of God for us. That's why we praise Him. That's His mercy, His merciful kindness, and the truth of the matter is Jesus paid our sin debt. That's why we praise Him. For His mercy and His truth's sake. Oh, as we think about it. And not only is it true now, His truth endureth forever. It's not going to change. Aren't you glad of that? I know Sister Jennifer's glad of that because she works in an environment where things change all the time. Trying to keep up with regulations and trying to keep up with this and that. And the rest of you, we all have to deal with changes, don't we? Don't you hate changes? We're such creatures of habit, we just like things the way we want it. And this world would be a whole lot better off if they just do things like we want it. But we have to deal with change around us and in us. These old bodies are changing, aren't they? We feel differently maybe than we did before. Things just different. Oh, but God doesn't change. And His truth will never change. Isn't that a breath of fresh air? Isn't that refreshing? To know, that's why I love just to read my Bible. You know, I've read some mighty good books that men have written. And I've enjoyed many of the points that men have said. And there's some men in the gospel ministers that I highly regard. But still, if I read their writings, I may not be nitpicking, but I have to have the presence of mind of realizing that this is just the writings of a man. But I can pick up this book, and I can drink it in. It's truth. It's pure truth. And I don't have to worry about whether it's right or not. The only thing I have to worry about is understanding and how to apply it. You know, to rightly divide the word of truth. That expression, rightly divide, means to cut it straight. Any of you that ever worked with a pattern, any kind of pattern, you understand you need to, unless you're doing your own thing, you need to stay with the pattern. Just like God admonished Moses, see thou do all things according to the pattern which was showed thee in the mount. We have a pattern for the New Testament church as well. And we need to follow that. And we have the truth. And if we're going to try to teach the truth, we need to teach it the way it is. We need to cut it straight. All right? It's not a matter of dividing the truth from the error. It's a matter of applying it correctly. All right? So, we praise God for His truth. And as I said earlier in the beginning of these remarks, how thankful I am that the more I've studied and compared how the King James was translated and what we have, how much I just thank God for His hand of providence. I mean, it's become evident to me. You know, when you examine evidence, just like a jury, when they debate the evidence that's been presented, at some point they come to a conviction about what they believe about the matter. Same is true with the Word of God. The more you study it and the more you compare other translations or versions or whatever you want to call it, the King James is a translation, okay, not a version, but a translation from the original languages. It's not a version from some other English language. It is the translation from the original languages where God gave his word. But the more you study it and how it was done and historical events, the more and more convinced I become that the hand of God was in it, in bringing it to us. And it's in such a form that we don't have to have the Greek. Now, sometimes I like looking at the Greek words and what men say those words mean, but the Bible is its own interpreter, comparing Scripture with Scripture. Even when you find out some of the meaning of those words and then you go back and start comparing other Scriptures, you'll find, well, yeah, that's what it was saying all along. And so how wonderful that God's given us his truth. How highly we should be regarding his truth. And how often we ought to be availing ourselves to his truth. It endureth forever. It'll be here. If this world stands for another 6,000 years, this word says, he's promised that he's going to preserve his word. You know, when the Ark of the Covenant was finally put into the temple, remember when Moses and the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness, there were three things in that Ark of the Covenant that was to be put there for a testimony. You know, the tables of the Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod that budded, the golden pot that had manna. All three of those things was to remind the children of Israel as they went about. But when the ark was finally placed in the temple, okay, in Solomon's day, do you remember only one of the three things that was still in there? The Word of God. The 10 words. The 10 commandments. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three have that verse of Scripture. And except for one mark of punctuation, it's worded the same. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, not the word as a whole, but with an S, my words shall not pass away. We have this truth. It's a blessing from God. We need to be praising him for that. We need to be praising him for all that he's done. But the more of his truth that we understand, the more we have and understand that we have to praise him for every day. Oh, may God help us to avail ourselves to that truth and praise the Lord. The beginning of our day, the end of our day, and all the way through, praise him for his mercy and his truth. May God bless you is our prayer.